Today's shiur starts the other Shem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph at the top. We're up to the words D'Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, actually, we are in the middle of a dialogue here. The Gemara at the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis asked a contradiction from one member of Rabbi Yehuda to another member of Rabbi Yehuda. And as explained yesterday, we had a Machlokes Rashi and Taisus as to what exactly this contradiction is. Quickly reiterating, Taisus says that the Gemara's Kasha is a steer from Rabbi Yehuda in the Kfayas to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, Ein dam levatal da. If you have dam that is supposed to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and somehow it got mixed up with other blood, blood of Chulin, even though the blood that is fit to be sprinkled is the miut, and the majority over here is the other blood that is not fit, it is simply not a problem. The miut kosher blood does not become bottled in the other blood, because Ein dam levatal dam, and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Min b'minoi einoi bottle. That's Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. On the other hand, we have here a Beraisa in the Kfas, and the Gemara established that this Beraisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And over here in this Beraisa, we learn that if somebody has a dli, a pail, and the pail has water inside, and he toivels the pail, he sticks it into the water, wanting to be metaya of the pail without pouring the water out. Usually this is not a problem. Although the water in the pail is meshuvin, it's not mekshamin, and it's not kosher and mikvah water, but once you dip the pail and you immerse it in the mikveh, once it gets mixed up with the mikveh water, even the meshuvim becomes tar al yidei hashaka, and therefore the entire keli is covered by tar dika water, by mikveh water from the inside and from the outside, and it's a kashrut tefil. What happens, however, if I have a pail full of mechatas, and that is the water that is sprayed on the tummy mace, that is mixed with the ashes of the paraduma? This water is an avatum. And this water does not become tar al yidei hashaka. When you have the mikveh water running into this keli and it gets mixed up with the mechatas, it will not be matar the mechatas. So it turns out that the mechatas, if it doesn't become tar, and it's not kosher mikveh water, it's a chatzitza. It's mafsik. The interior of the keli is not going to get filled up with mikveh water. So the tefillah is not a good tefillah unless, this Baraisa mikvah says, you pour out most of the mechatas, although a miut of mechatas was left, being that the roiv of the pail is going to fill up with kashra mikvah water, the roiv mikvah water is going to be mevatel, the miut of the mechatas. Now here you have min b'minai, you have water and water, mikvah water and the mechatas, and Rabbi Yehuda says suddenly over here that it's all right. We don't say the miut of the water is a chatzitza, rather we say if you have roiv mikvah water, it's mevatel the miut mechatas. This is also min b'minai. Why don't you say over here, as you say in the case of a dam, that min b'minoi einoi bato, and even if there's a tiny drop of mechatas, with the rest of the keli full of mikveh water, it should still be considered a chatzitza. That's what Tosfos learns the contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda that the Gemara asks. According to Rashi, we had a different contradiction. Rashi had a whole different gears than the Gemara. According to Rashi, this has nothing to do with the Rabbi Yehuda in our mission that says ein dam levatal dam. Rather, the steer is from this Barais and Mikvahs to another Rabbi Yehuda. And that other Rabbi Yehuda is where Rabbi Yehuda says if one has a pail full of white wine. Now, white wine has the same color that water does. It's clear. However, obviously, it's not kosher. One cannot table himself in wine. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if somebody wants to be table a keli that happens to be full of white wine, it's not enough to pour out most of the white wine and say we'll have roiv water over here to be mevatel, the white wine. Rather, before I do that, I have to make another cheshbon. I have to assume what would happen if the white wine was red. Would we have enough water over here to be mevatel the yayin enough, not just roiv water, but enough water that there shouldn't even be a red color in the wine, or not? If we would have enough water that would even take away the color of the red wine, and it would still appear clear in the keli, then it's kosher. If, however, there is enough wine over here that had it been red, there would be a red color. Although you may have had roiv water, there still would be a red color. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's possible. Now, Rashi learns, unlike Tosfos, that the mechatas and the water have a din of min b'she'enai minai. Being that the mechatas is so drastically different in halacha that it's mamish and avatoma, it's not the same min as water. Memelis mean the enamina. If that's the case, it turns out that realistically speaking, the mechatas and the water is the same as the white wine and the water. Both are mean the enamina. Both have the same color. So if you say in regard to the white wine that it's not enough just to say that if you have roiv water, the white wine becomes bottled, but you have to imagine that the white wine would be red, and you have to have enough water to take away the color, so say the same thing in regard to the mechatas. You have to imagine that the mechatas is red, and there should have to be enough water to take away the red color. Roiv water should not be sufficient. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda demand it over here with the mechatas? Now that is a contradiction according to Rashi that the Gemara asked. In one braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not enough to have roiv, but if you have min, be'ein amina, with the same color, you have to view the problem liquid, and that is either the white wine or mechatas, as though it would be red, and you have to have enough water to take away the red color. And in the other braisa, there's nothing about viewing it as though it's red. All Rabbi Yehuda says is, if you have roiv, regular water, it's mevatel the meat, and the tefillah is kosher. So whatever the kasha is, Akopanam the Gemara answers, there's no contradiction, because ha de day, ha de rabbe. The latter is his own view, and the former is the view of his Rebbe. His Rebbe is more machmer. Rabbi Yehuda's personal opinion is to be mekel, and that answers the contradiction regardless of what the contradiction is. It's either Tosfos' view of the contradiction or Rashi's version of the contradiction. But now the Gemara wants to show us where Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe, who was Rabbi Gamliel, is indeed machmer when it comes to these halachas of Bittel. Zok the Gemara, the Tanya we learned in a brayse. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishum Rabbi Gamliel, in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, Ein Dam Mevatel Da. Now that's the same as we have Rabbi Yehuda now, Mishnah. Blood can never become bottle in other blood, because it's min b'minoi, and min b'minoi ain't a bottle. By that same token, just like the blood will always remain kosher, even though it got mixed up with a lot of blood, with a majority of blood that is not kosher, because ain't dam mevatel dam, the halacha is ain't roik mevatel roik. Saliva is not mevatel other saliva for the same reason that min b'minoi ain't a bottle. Now the case over here is as follows. The din is that the saliva of a zav, the reik of a zav, is tamei and it's metam. Even if the saliva of a zav gets mixed up with the saliva of a nashim tahayim, of people that are not zavim, even though reik of a zav is tahar, it still does not become bottle, being that it's min b'minai, and min b'minai ain't a bottle. And a third instance of this halacha, as Rabbi Yehuda Mishim Ram Gamil continues, ein meiraglayim mevatlin meiraglayim. Here too we're referring to meiraglayim of a zav. Even if it got mixed up with other meraglayim, and the other meraglayim is tahar and it's roiv, the meraglayim of the zav still does not become bottle. It can't become bottle because it's min b'mina. Now, according to Tosfos, this teretz is very good. Because what was the contradiction again according to Tosfos? Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, ein dam, vatel dam, min b'mina yainachaitz. Rabbi Yehuda in the Brais in the Kfar says that the kosher of mikvamayim is mevato the mechatz. Tosfos is of the opinion that this is considered min b'minai, so it's a stira. Here we see that Rabbi Yehuda Mishim Ram Gamliel, that's the shita that says that min b'minai doesn't become bottle. Memela, Rabbi Yehuda the Mishnah who says ein dam avatel dam, and the dam karbonis will remain kosher, that is Rabbi Yehuda Mishim Ram Gamliel. And Rabbi Yehuda in Mikvahs who says that if you have roiv mikvah water, it is mevatel the mechatas, this is Rabbi Yehuda's personal opinion that min b'minai does become bottle. Now, according to Rashi, the Gemara's teretz is not as pashut. Rashi again said that the contradiction is, in one place of Yehuda says, if you have min be'enoi minoi, if you have white wine and water, we view the white wine as though it would be red wine, and you have to have enough water to take away the red color, not just right. And in the other place of Yehuda says, if you have min be'enoi minoi, because Rashi's opinion is that mechatas and water is considered min be'enoi minoi, oh, here you have min b'yeinai minai, and Rav Yehuda doesn't say you have to view the mechatas as though it would be red wine. Rather, he says all you need is roiv water, and that's sufficient. Now, that's the contradiction. So what is the Gemara telling us over here? Fine. Rav Yehuda Mishim Ram Gamliel says min b'minai doesn't become bottle. But who's talking about min b'minai? According to Rashi, the Gemara's kashi is a stira from min b'she'enai minai on min b'she'enai minai. So Rashi explains what the Gemara means as a follows. Heyos, we see that Rav Gamliel is so machmir that min b'minai simply does not become bottle. And Rav Gamliel goes so far as to say in regard to min b'minai that even 1 in 10,000 will not become bottle. So we assume that if we have another mandiyamar, if we have another shita that does not allow roiv to work in the case of min b'she'ena minai, which is what we're saying in regard to the white wine, we're saying that even though you have roiv water, that's not enough to be machshir the dali, but you have to view the white wine as though it's red wine, we assume this must be Yom Gamliel, because who else stops the Roy from working? And in Nela, this is the Gemara's Teretz. In one place of Yehuda says, Min b'shein, and meaning it's the same color, Roy is not enough, but you have to view it as though it's red wine. That must be Yom Gamliel, who is so ma'achmir, as you see by Min b'mina, he says even Echad B'Elef is not bottled. And what if Yehuda says, mean b'she'ena, meaning that's the same color, it does become bottled, right? As the case is in regard to the water and the mechatas. This, the Gemara assumes, must be of Yehuda's personal opinion. Rav Amarava says, we have another text for the contradiction. Bidli she'toichoi tohar, the gaboi tami yaskina. We are discussing in Mekfoas a pail, which is tohar on the inside, but it's tamei on the outside. Now, how is it possible? Isn't it that when a keli becomes tamei, it becomes totally tamei? How do you separate the exterior from the interior? So Rashi explains, without going into the intricacies of tamei and tahara, we're referring over here to tumas mashkim midrabanan, and there it's possible that it's only tamei the outside of the keli, and the inside of the keli does not become tamei. Now, what are we accomplishing by saying this? Because Rashi explains, if you have this kind of a keli that is only tamei on the outside, not on the inside, the Medina Sagilu Bakaldo, the truth is, Medina de Gemara, it is sufficient that the outside becomes tahar, and no tefillah on the inside of the keli is really necessary. So we add from the fact that the keli is full of mechata, should not present a problem at all. Either water doesn't get into the interior, there's a chatzitza, it doesn't bother me, the water doesn't have to get into the interior, this keli is only tummy from the outside. However, but Rabbanan to the Gazibu, the Rabbanan made a Zayin, and they said, no, the water has to get into the inside also. Why? Dil mechayis alayu, v'loy matfalei, that's the gears on the side of the Gemara. Mechatas is a very precious thing. A paraduma was not something easy to come by. Mechatas has many, many dinim. It's a very complex water, and it becomes possible very easy. So to have kosher and mechatas is a difficult task. Mechatas is so sensitive, it becomes possible even behes chadas. If a person thinks about something else while he's drawing, it becomes possible. So this person is holding a dli of mechatas. The outside of this dli is tummy. Now he wants to be extra careful to make sure that no mikvah water runs into this mechatas, and therefore it would passel the mechatas. So the chances are, yes, this is on his mind, when he's going to immerse this pail in the mikvah, he isn't going to immerse it all the way to make sure that the mikvah water covers the entire exterior of the keli. And if the whole keli isn't covered on the outside by mikvah water, surely the tefillah is not kosher. Therefore, the Rabbanan said, if you want a tevil, a keli that has mechatas inside, then you have to make sure that the mikvah water gets inside, or else the tefillah is worthless. This way, at least we'll be sure that if he's interested in being metayadis dli, he realizes that he has to pour the mechatas out. Because if not, it's not going to be kosher. You have to get the mikvah water inside. And a chanami, technically speaking, there is no need to get the mikvah water inside, because we're talking about a keli which is only tummy on the outside, not on the inside. But if we're going to allow him to table this keli this way, with the mechatas inside, we are concerned he isn't going to get the water all over the outside. So we're saying you have to get the water inside also. However, lemaisa, being that it's only a gzeta drabanan to get the water inside the keli, so I say, keep indicatively, if you have roiv mikvah water inside, although there is still a miyat of mechatas remaining, loitzach, there is no need to spill out all of the mechatas. You just have to make sure roiv mikvah water gets in. So memela, we have a teretz of a contradiction, sila drashi and sila taisis. According to taisis, again, the contradiction was that Yehud in the Mishnah says, min b'minai does not become batal. The dam will remain kosher regardless of how much dam pasul gets in. And here the Yehuda says, min b'mina does become batal because the roiv mikvah water is going to be mevatel the miut mechatas. The teretz is, the only reason that Yehuda says roiv is good over here is because the whole concept of the water getting inside of here b'chlal is only drabana. Midiuraisa, there's no need for any water inside. If, however, we're talking about a keli that is tummy both on the outside and the inside, surely the Yehuda would say roiv mikvah water is not enough. If midiraisa, you have to get the water inside, you have to empty out the entire mechatas. Even if a tiny drop would remain, it would be min b'mina that doesn't become bottle, and therefore it remains a chatzitz, and its tefillah would then not be good. For that matter, according to Rashi's contradiction, Rav's teretz also is very pashut. Rashi again is of the opinion, unlike Taisus, that the mechatas in the water is considered min b'she'ena mina. And therefore, the contradiction is, here you say that the roiv works for min b'she'ena minai, that's the same color. and in regard to the white wine and the water and the mikveh, which is also mean b'she'en amini, that's the same color, there you say that you have to view the white wine as though it would be red, and there has to be enough water to take away the red color. Right? Isn't that enough? The teretz is, usually where you have mean b'she'en amini, and it's the same color, indeed, right? Isn't that enough? You have to view the white as though it's red, and there has to be enough water so that there shouldn't be any red color remaining. The reason over here that Yehuda says, we don't view the Mechatas as though it would be red, and you have to have enough water to take away the red color, rather, Roiv water is enough, is because here we're only talking about a Tefillah Midrabanan, because Midiyuraisa, the inside of the Keli, is tar anyhow. So according to Rava, Lemaisa, Rav Yehuda does not disagree with his Rabbi Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel says, mean b'mina doesn't become bottle, so does Rav Yehuda. Mean b'mina does not become bottle. That's why the dam remains kosher, regardless of how much parcel of dam comes in. According to Rashi, if you say mean b'mina doesn't become bottle, you're also the one that says that you view the white wine as though it's red, and you have to have enough water to be mevatel the red color. Both Rav Yehuda and Rav Gamliel would agree to that. Now there's one thing we have to add over here. In this Braisa of the Mechatos, there are two other tsiurim, two other cases of somebody that wants to immerse a pail in the mikveh that is full of different kinds of substances. Besides from Mechatos and Akeli, there was another case in the Mishnah where somebody wants to be tabel of li that is full of roik, full of saliva. There we said, that will not become bottle even if you have roiv water. Saliva is so different than the water that it simply remains a chatzitza. Now, according to Rav, that we're referring here to a type of a dli that isn't tamei inside at all, you only need the tefillah outside, what's the problem with the reik that's inside? You don't need tefillah inside. So Tosfos explains that you're going to have to say that the Mishnah in Mikvayos has to be broken up. When Rava says only the outside is tamei but the inside is not tamei, that's just in the case of Mechatos, not in the other cases. In the other cases, it's tamei both inside and outside. Now Rava comes to take all of these sheetas of bittel over here and put them into perspective. Amarav. Bittel, explains Rava, works in many different ways. Amarabonan, b'taima. Sometimes, taste is a determining factor. That's when you have mean b'ene minai. If you have mean b'ene minai, obviously they taste differently if they're two different things, so it's possible to judge by taste. On the other hand, v'yamarabonan, b'ruba. If you have mean b'minai, so you can't go with the taste, because you have two things over here, let's say non-kosher meat, that fell into kosher meat, both the same kind of meat, so both taste the same. Here you go with the rice. Rice kosher meat is kosher, rice non-kosher meat it's not kosher. So one thing we have to understand over here is that appearance and time, that's the same. In other words, in regard to the mikveh, where you need a maramayim, so we said if you have red wine, that's pashut. You see, if there's enough water over here, if the water looks red or it looks clear. If you have white wine, where white wine is also clear. So there was a sheet of it, you have to make an equation. Assume that the white wine is red wine, and had this white wine been red wine, would there have been enough water to be mevatel this amount of red wine? Now, if you say that, you would have to say the same thing in regards to the tap. If you're telling me that if two different kinds of food fall into each other, we go with the taste, then if you have two different kinds of food that taste the same, that get mixed up, one is kosher, one is non-kosher, you should also have to say, make an equation. Take out the non-kosher food. Assume that it would be a different kind of food. If this amount of a different kind of food would render a taste, then it should be possible. If not, it's kosher. Yet the Rebbe doesn't say that. No cheshbonos, no calculations are necessary. If you can go with the taste, if they taste differently, see what it tastes like. If you can't go with the taste, go with the rice. Rebbe dismisses, apparently, lihalacha, that whole sheet about viewing the white wine as though it would be red wine. So again, Rebbe says sometimes you go with the taste. When two things get mixed up, we see what it tastes like. Sometimes you go with the raiv. When two things get mixed up, we see what has the majority. The yamarabon and the chazusa. Sometimes we go with the appearance. When two things get mixed up, we see what it looks like. For instance, when juice falls in to mikveh water, it should become bottled, provided that we still have the appearance of water. Even though the juice may be a miut, but if you look into this mikveh and you see iron juice, you don't see water, and the mikveh is not kosher. And now the Gemara explains. Mean b'she'en amina. If you have two different kinds of minim that get mixed up, one is kosher, one is not kosher, then the time both taste differently, so see what this mixture tastes like. Naturally, he can't taste it himself. So for that, there are eitzes. Either he gets an akum to taste it, But the point is, we go bus a tap. Mean the mean. If you have two things that got mixed up that taste the same, just that halachically they are different, beruba, then go with sirayif. You can't figure out what it is by tasting it because both taste the same, so see what has the majority. And hey, chadiyika chazusa, where you have something that is not totally in the tap. The taste, what the mikvah, what it tastes like, has absolutely nothing to do with the status of the mikvah. But it's the appearance of the mikvah that determines if this is kosher or not. Then the ma'at, then we go with the appearance. Now let's bear in mind that the Rav over here is strictly talking diuraisa. Midrabanan, there are other requirements, like shishim and so on. But we're talking min ha-toyah, what the halach is. Now, b'yatzim, what the Rav is saying about min b'mina, i.e. that you go with ra'iv, and min b'sheinim, and you go with tam, we really learned this already in our yesterday shiur. Rish Lakish told us that. The Gemara told us that Rish Lakish says that pigul nice of the tame, if you mix them all up together, one becomes bottle in the other one. And the Gemara said we learned three things from that. Number one, we see that one iser can become bottle in another iser. Pigul can be mevatel nicer, and nicer can be mevatel pigul, even though they're both aser. And therefore, bittul does not necessarily mean iser and heter. Two isurim can also become bottle one in another. If you have pigul and you have noiser, the noiser can be mevatel the pigul, and the pigul can be mevatel the noiser. Now it's also anyhow, it might not come in a why it's also. If the noiser becomes bottle to the pigul and it's also mitzad pigul, or if the pigul becomes bottle to the noiser and it's also mitzad noiser, so there are many nafkaminas. There can be nafkaminas lagaba the yasra, lagaba other things, but akul panim, bittul is not necessarily iser and heter, it's iser and iser as well. Now the Gemara also derived from Rish Lakish that nois and tam beroiv lav diraisa. Because the Shlakish's case was about pigul and noiser. One is a drop more than a kazayas, one is less than a kazayas, a mashu less than a kazayas, and one is mevatel the other. Now, if you have 51% of one thing and 49% of the other thing, surely the taste of the 49% is still here. Yet the Shlakish said it becomes bottle. So you see, the Shlakish says you go with tzedoyev and you don't go baser tam, and the Gemara says this is dafka by min b'minai. Now, let's remember something. If you have min b'mina, if I have here a pound of non-kosher meat and 2 pounds of kosher meat, and I eat this, I will definitely feel the ta'am of the non-kosher meat. The problem is it's not distinct. I don't know which is which, but the ta'am is there. Despite that, if you have ra'iv and it's min b'mina, the Shlakish says, you go with tzedoyev. Now the Gemara says, referring to this member of the Shlakish, Upliga the Rebbe Elazar. Shlakish seemingly is in contradiction, is in dispute with the Elazar. The Amid of Elazar for the Elazar says, Kishem she'ein mitzvahs mevatleis zuazu, just like mitzvahs can't be mevatel one another, kach ein isurin mevatlin zuazu. One iser cannot become bottle in another iser. Now what do we mean mitzvahs can't be mevatel other mitzvahs? We'll soon see. For like the Gemara, man shamatlei, who is the man diyamar? Man shamatlei diyamar that ein mitzvahs mevatleis zuazu, one mitzvah can't become bottle in another mitzvah. So like the Gemara, Hillel he, this is Hillel. The Tanya for we lent in the Braisa. Amri Yalav al Hillel Azakin, it was said on Hillel Azakin, Shayakarchan bevasachas. He took all three at one time. He took the carbon pesach, matzah, and marr, and wrapped it all together, the archon, and ate it. Mishum Shinema, because the pasuk says, Al matzah isim roivim yachlu. So the Belazah understands from this, that if Hillel Azakin ate all three together, pesach, matzah, and marr, and he was not concerned that the marr and the matzah are going to get mixed up in his mouth, and maybe as he's swallowing it, there will be a miut of matzah and roiv of marah, so the tam of the matzah is going to become bottle, and it turns out he's not eating matzah, he's just eating pesach and marah. Being that Hillel Azakin was not concerned with this, the Belazar implies, and this obviously his opinion was, that it's not shayach bittel by two minim of heter. Bittel is only yisr and heter. But one mean that is heter cannot be mevatel, another mean that is heter. And the nail, by that same token, the Belazar says, if you have two isurim, one doesn't become bottle in another one. Shlakish wanted to say if you're eating pigle and nicer together, the pigle can become nicer and the nicer can become pigle when it gets all mixed up. That's not true, says the Belazar. You see from here that bittle is only iser and heter. Iser and iser, or heter and heter, don't become bottle. Now this same Gemara is found in Masechet Tzachin. The Gemara tells about Hillel Azakin, who took all three, Pesach, Matzah, and Mor, ate it all together. And it's a dain from here, his opinion was that mitzvahs, Minei heter cannot be mevatel one another, memel there's no shayl. And the Gemara also said in Sache that if you see heter and heter can't be mevatel one another, then iser and iser aren't mevatel one another. If pigle gets mixed up with nicer, even though there's a right nicer, the pigle doesn't become nicer. Bittul is only heter and iser, or iser into heter. Now the Ramban in Pesachim asks, why is the Gemara only bringing this raya from Hillel HaZaken? Now there in Pesachim is a machlokes between Hillel HaZaken and the Rabbana. Hillel HaZaken says you have to eat it all together because the pasuk says al nasas imlerim yachluhu, and the Rabbana say you don't have to. But the Rabbana also mayor that if you want to eat it all together, you can. So why should the Gemara only bring a raya from the Das Yachad, from Hillel HaZaken? We have the same raya from the Rabbanan. They also say that if a person wants to eat matzah and mara together, he can. I let's be choishish that the mara is going to be more and it's going to be mevatel the matzah. So you see even from the Rabbanan that mitzvahs are not mevatel one another. So the matzah over there explains that the yatsim and the Rabbanan also dash in the pasuk of al matzah and raya yachlu. The difference is the Rabbanan dashes from the pasuk al matzah and raya yachlu that if you want to eat it together, you can eat it together. And Hillel HaZaken dashes from the pasuk that you must wrap it together and eat it. The male of the pshat is perfect. Hillel HaZaken, who says all over that mitzvahs aren't mevatel other mitzvahs, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with taking two mitzvahs together and eating it because one won't be mevatel the other anyhow. So if you have a pasuk of almasas and rayim yachlu that eat it together, it can't mean that you can eat it together, because why shouldn't I be able to eat it together? So it must mean that you have to eat it together. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, hayois, they probably say, mitzvahs can be mevatel other mitzvahs. Therefore, if you have a pasuk of almatzis and rayim yachlu, you say the pasuk is telling me that if you want to, you can. In regard to other mitzvahs, you can't mix it together, because one will be mevatel the other one. But over here, for some reason, you can. So the fact that the Rabbanan dash and almatzis and rayim yachlu to teach me you can wrap it together rather than you must, is that I, that according to them, this within itself is a chiddush that you can. So you see that Rabbanan shita b'chlal is that mitzvahs are mevatel other mitzvahs. But from Hillel HaZaken, who says the fact that you can would not be a chiddush, and therefore the pasuk must be telling me that you have to, here we have a raya that usually you can, because mitzvahs are not mevatel other mitzvahs. Now b'yatzim, what is the svar attacker? That bittul should only work for iser and heter, not for heter and heter, or iser and iser. So this is explained by the Ran and the Dor. The aside of bittul is the contradiction. If you have two things that are diametrically opposed, and they come together, both cannot exist. There is no greater contradiction in the world than something that is aser and something that is mutter. So if you take iser and you take heter and you put them together, bi'achrach, one is going to have to give in, because there is no such metzias of something being both aser and mutter at the same time. So which one is going to give in to who? So here we have to be done. Either the taste is going to determine, either the majority is going to determine, but something is going to have to determine. Both cannot remain in existence. This idea is only applicable, however, when you have a contradiction. However, when you have two mitzvahs, where both can work in harmony, then mi'echa teisa that one is mevatel the other one. The same is true when you have two isurim, both are awesome, mi'echa teisa one should be mevatel the other one. It is only when you have two things, explains the Ram, that can't go together, and now that it got mixed up, one has to dominate and the other has to be nullified. But that, according to this shita, would not apply to either two mitzvahs or two isurim. They stay in harmony, and they don't become batel one to another. Zakti Gemara Vayta, we turn now to Amud Beis. Tamin Abba. Chasen shal Zav v'Zava. If you have a keli that has in it both the meraglaim of a Zav and a Zava. Now this keli is klichas, it's pottery, and the mela, it has absorbed the meraglaim, which is tami and matam. If the person went there and rinsed the keli out, the Tosefta says, pam rishon v'sheni, the first and second time he rinses out the keli, tami, it's still tami. Shlishi. However, if he rinses it a third time, tar, then it's tar. The first two times we say the meraglaim that was absorbed did not come out. The third rinsing, however, does take everything out. Now the Braisa cautions us. Spamed v'amamurim, when do we say this? Dafka shenosam l'toychimai. When would a third rinsing at least help if he put water in to rinse it? Avoloi nosam l'toychimai. Let us say he wanted to rinse this out with other meraglaim. Even though the other meraglaim is tahardika meraglaim, they are not from Azav. But afilu asir, even if he would do this 10 times, tame, it would remain tame. Why? Because in effect what he's doing is, he's going around in circles. He's taking a keli that is full of meraglaim tame, and he's putting in Mei Raglayim Tar to rinse it out. But what happens? As he's rinsing it, as the Mei Raglayim Tar is rinsing the Keli, the Tamei Dika Mei Raglayim is coming out of the walls of the Keli. It's going into the Tar Dika Mei Raglayim. The Tar Dika Mei Raglayim now becomes Tamei. And the Tar Dika Mei Raglayim, or the previous Tar Mei Raglayim, is now Tamei, and that's being absorbed into the Keli. So the rinsing agent is constantly becoming Tamei from the absorption that's coming out. And the rinsing agent is going into the Keli, and the Keli is still Tamei. So he's going around in circles. You can do this 10 times. You still have the Tumah. However, why is this a problem? Because if he uses Mei Raglayim, and what's absorbed in the Keli is Mei Raglayim, it's Min Demina. And Min Demina doesn't become bottle. Masha Enke. If he is rinsing the Keli with water, so fine. The first 2 times, it doesn't draw out enough Mei Raglayim. But whatever Mei Raglayim does get drawn out will not be Matama the water. Being that Min B'she'ena Minai does become bottle, the Mei Raglayim, the absorptions of the Mei Raglayim tummy that are coming out into the water become bottle, and the water remains tar. So by the 3rd time, when all of the absorptions of the Mei Raglayim have been rinsed out, the Keli is now tar. So obviously the Tanakama of this Tosafta is of the opinion that Min B'mina does not become bottle. That's why if you rinse it with Mei Raglayim, the Mei Raglayim keeps becoming tummy from the absorptions. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Shlishi, if you rinse it a 3rd time, even though you aren't using water, but you're using the same substance that is absorbed in the Keli, tar, it's still tar. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is obviously of the opinion that even Min B'mina becomes bottle. Therefore, if you rinse the Keli with Mei Raglayim Tahoirim, the absorptions in the Keli of the Mei Raglayim Tamei, as it's coming out into the Mei Raglayim Tar, becomes bottle. Therefore, by the 3rd time where all the Mei Raglayim Tamei is out, the Keli is tar. So we have 2 important halachas over here that the Baraisa teaches us. First of all, when one rinses a Klei Cheres in order to get out an absorption, he has to do it 3 times. The first 2 rinsings would not take out what is absorbed in the Keli. Now, nobody disputes that. Both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agree that you have to have at least 3 times. Even though what comes out becomes bottle, lemaisa, not everything comes out until you rinse it at least 3 times. Now, the second issue over here in the Braisa, that's the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Tanakhama says, Min Demina does not become bottle, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Min Demina does become bottle. Heyos, the Tanakam over here is not identified, so the Gemara asks, Man Shamatlei, who is the man, the Yomar? The Yomar who says, Min B'mina loy bottle does not become bottle. Sak the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, it is Rabbi Yehuda. He is the one that says, Min B'mina does not become bottle. The only thing that becomes bottle is when you have Min B'she'ena Mina. And here too we have the Svar of the Ran. As the Ran explains it in the Darim, Bittl only works with contradictions. And Min B'mina is not enough of a contradiction. If you have Min B'she'ena Mina, if you have 2 separate things and they get mixed up, it has to be one or another. But if it's the same thing, so it's the same thing. Nothing becomes bottle. Now we know that Yehuda is the man that says, Min B'mina does not become bottle, because he says so in our Mishnah. That if you have dam that is roy to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, even if it gets mixed up with a majority of different dam, you can still spray it on the Mizbeach, because the dam kosher will not become bottle, hayos that it got mixed up with other dam. Reason being, Min B'minoi, according to the Yehuda, does not become bottle. So the Gemara says, V'minu, I'll ask you a kasha. We learned, Pishtan shetavasei nida. If you have flax, that a woman who was a nida spun, Masitai, anyone that moves this flax that was spun by a nida, tar is tar. There is no tum in the flax. Now the issue over here is that while the nida was spinning the flax, some saliva may have dripped from her mouth. And moist mashka from a nida is the tam of the masa. So if somebody carries the flax, he would be tame. We're assuming, however, that the saliva is not moist anymore. Therefore he's tar. However, the imhoyalach, if you know for a fact that there was some roik on the flax that was still moist, Masitai, if somebody carries it now, tell me he's tame. Reason being, Mishum Mashka Pia. The fluid from the mouth of the nida is Matama of the Masa. Rabbi Yehuda says, even though the reik is dry already, there still is a potential problem. Why? Because Afharoitsoi Bemaim Tame Mishum Mashka Pia. If somebody's going to take now the dry flax and moisten it in water, so the mashka pia, the dry saliva, becomes wet again, and therefore the power of tum in it is regenerated. Not only that, but the afilatul, even if you put a lot of water on the flax, now one would imagine that if he is mamish soaking the flax with an abundance of water, whatever reich is here would be washed off. Despite that, Rabbi Yehuda says over here, once the reich is absorbed by the flax, you can't just rinse it out. And the Mele of the Gemara asks, this is an open contradiction to what we said before with the Chasm Shel Zav. There we said, if you have the earthen keli that has the meter glime of a zav in it, if you rinse it three times, it does come out. So consistent rinsing eventually does draw out even the absorptions. And here, by the flax, Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't. And for the Gemara, it depends. Depends what is absorbed. Shani Reich. Reich is different to carrier. The nature of the saliva is such is that it gets so absorbed with such powers of absorption into the pishtam that it simply does not come out even with a consistent rinsing. The nature of metaglime is different, and the male is there. Rabbi Yehuda says, by the third time, you can be sure it's all out. Now, Tosfos asks, that in Masechtas Nida, we learn this halacha about the mashkapia, about the roik of a nida that it's tame. Now, there too, the Mishnah says, as long as it's moist, it is metame. Once it becomes dry, it no longer has the powers of tame. The Mishnah Nida, however, adds, although we are saying once it's dry, it's not tame, it depends. If the roik is situated, or the amount of the roik is such, that should we moisten now the item that it's on, the roik will once again become moist. In that case, it is tamei even though it's dry. In other words, if the potential is there to regenerate the moisture, then it never becomes tar. The Frektosfos in Cain, the Mishnah Nida contradicts both Shitas over here. Contradicts the Rabbanan and the Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan say once it becomes dry, there's no shiloh whatsoever. Here you see when it becomes moist, the tum is regenerated. Even the Rabbi Yehuda says, when you wash it and it becomes moist again, then it's tamei again. But before you wash it, it's not tummy. The Mishnah Nida says that if the potential is there for regenerating the moisture, it's tummy even before you make it wet. It's tummy still when it's dry. The Mele Tais suggests the chat over here in the Braisa is something else altogether. Now let's first understand as follows. The Gemara Nida explains, what does this mean, that it's possible to regenerate the moisture? It means, says the Gemara, that if you would take the reich and soak it in lukewarm water for 24 hours, would the dry roik then become moist again? If it does, this means that it was tummy all along. If it won't, even after 24 hours of being soaked in warm water, this means it's tar, period. On the other hand, if the roik is situated on something, or the amount of roik is such that, even if you would soak it for 24 hours in lukewarm water, it would not become moist again, then this roik, or the mark of this reich, has absolutely no shaychus to tumah whatsoever. Even if you would take water and pour it on, it wouldn't be tummy. Because this reich will never regain its moisture again, and therefore, it's tar, it's not the reich that's metame. And Tosfos explains both over here that Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda would agree. If you have a reich that will regain its moisture after being soaked for 24 hours, that means it's tummy all along. If you have roik that will not regain its moisture after being soaked for 24 hours, it's tahar all along, even if it becomes wet. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here in this Braisa, says Tosfos, is something else altogether. If you have roik that is wet, it's still moist from its original moisture, this is tamei l'chala deyus or l'chala shitas. So Rabbi Yehuda, if you take this and you rinse it with water, af haroi tvoi b'mayim, the wet roik, it will remain tamei, and even if you use an abundance of water, it will remain tamei. L'chadchila we learned that Rabbi Yehuda is saying two things. First of all, if you have dry roik and you make it wet, it gets back its tamei. And once it gets back its tamei, even if you rinse it with an abundance of water, it won't become tar. Tosfos says that's impossible because this would totally contradict the Mishnah Nida that says if it's potentially possible to get the moisture back, it's always tamei. Rather, what we're talking about over here is roik that is mamish wet. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, af haroik for b'mayim, unlike the Rabbanan who say, if you rinse it off, it's rinsed off, Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you soak it in water, you will not be able to get the roik out. And not only that, even if you soak it in a lot of water, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, once roik is absorbed, it's going to stay there. Sakti Gemaravait. In the Mishnah we learned, all the shilas of bittel, if you have dam that's supposed to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and it gets mixed up with other damim, with damim shel chulin. We had all kinds of shailas, what is mevatel what? But that is only if the dam that is supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach gets mixed up with water, or it gets mixed up with regular dam. Misariv bedam psulin. However, if the dam that is supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach gets mixed up with dam of pasul karbonis, like a carbon which was a reveah v'nirva, or it was nishchat chutz l'zmanoi, here the halacha is yishafech liyama, it must be poured out into that special drain, into that special canal that ran from the Beis HaMikdash to Nachal Kidron. In addition, the Mishnah said, if the dam ha-tamsis gets mixed up with the dam ha-nefesh, dam ha-nefesh is the blood that comes out of the animal immediately after Shechita, the blood that comes out with a powerful force. This, the dam ha-nefesh, this is the blood that's supposed to be sprayed on the Mizbeach. The dam ha-tamsis is the blood that comes out afterwards. This doesn't come out with a kayach, and this does not go onto the Mizbeach. Now here too the Mishnah says, we don't even look, we don't touch the parsha of Bittel. Once the dam ha-nefesh, which belongs on the Mizbeach, gets mixed up with the dam ha-tamsis, which is not permitted on the Mizbeach, yishafach liyama, this too is poured into the canal. Here, however, the Mishnah follows by saying that the Eliezer machshir, Eliezer says it's kosher. What is the machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer? Now let's remember as follows. At the beginning of the Mishnah, we learned about the dam carbon that gets mixed up either with water or with dam of chulin. There we said that if the dam gets mixed up with water, it depends. Does it still look like blood? Did the water take away the mari dam? Or did the water not take away the mari dam? If it still looks like blood, it's kosher. If not, it's possible. What happens when the dam ha-carbon gets mixed up with dam shel chulin? Here you can't look at the mara because everything is red anyhow. So the Mishnah said, make an equation. Take the amount of dam chulin that fell in. Assume that that would be water. What would happen? If you would have a mari dam, it's kosher. If not, it's possible. Now we come into these other halachas about the dam ha-tamsis and the dam from the pasul ha-carbon, and the Mishnah, the Tanakam in the Mishnah, does not permit us to make any equations. Even if Lamaisa, would we make a cheshbon and substitute the dam atamsis or the pasul dam for water, there would not be enough water to take away the mari dam kosher. The Tanakama still says you must pour this out. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says it's kosher. Apparently, Rabbi Eliezer says make the same cheshbon you make with dam chulin. If there is not enough dam atamsis or dam psulim over here, that had it been water, it would take away the mari dam, then it's kosher. And we don't see automatically once dam tamsis touches the regular dam or dam sulam touches the regular dam, you must pour it out. What is this machlokes over here between the Tanakama and the Rabbi Eliezer? Now the thrust of the shaila is to understand the Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama change blood that is mixed with dam tamsis or dam sulam from blood that is mixed with dam chulin? Why can't we use the same guidelines? But my kamifulgi, fact the Gemara, do we make zayis in the Beis HaMikdash or not? The mass of a geizrin, the mass of a loy geizrin. And Rashi explains as follows. We're talking about somewhat complicated cheshbonos over here. We're making abstract equations. We have dam atamsis that gets mixed up with dam of a carbon. We're assuming we know the exact amount of dam ha-tamsis that went in here. Substitute that with water. What would have we had? Would there not be enough water to take away the mari dam? It's kosher. If not, it's possible. Now, if you made that cheshbon and you were right, then there's no problem. If indeed, had the dam ha-tamsis or dam psulim been substituted for water, there would have not been enough water to take away the mari dam, it's taka kosher. But what happens if you make a mistake? What happens if we miscalculate? It turns out we're going to be sprinkling dam ha-tamsis or dam from a reveya v'nirva on the mizbeach. So the Tanakama says we would much rather not take the chance. The Tanakama himself says make this cheshbin when you have the dam getting mixed up with dam chulin. Why aren't we concerned over there for a miscalculation? So Rashi explains chulin the Beis HaMikdash is not a shchichtige thing. It's very uncommon. Pasul karbonos were always there. So this is a very shchichtige mix-up. Memela, we don't want to allow, as common practice, to make these equations and calculations because we don't want any tam ha-tamsis or dam psulim that does not belong in the mizbeach to wind up there. Rabbi Eliezer, however, disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'chol ha-terekula we have gzeiros. Gzeiros are fine. They're gedarim that hold us back from being nichshol in a chet. But don't do that with kachin. Because if the metzias is that this dam is good because there is not enough dam atamsis or dam psulim in the mixture to passel the dam, because of the gzeira, you're taking good dam, halig a dam of a carbon, and you're spilling it out. Rabbi Eliezer does not want to allow this. And therefore he says, forget the gzeira, if it's kosher, it's kosher. Now Taisus learns the Gemara a little bit differently. Taisus says that we're not scared of a miscalculation. Why should we miscalculate? You have a formula, it's simple. Substitute the dam atamsis for water. We're concerned with something else over here. You have dam that gets mixed up with water. Make your calculation, see if there's not enough water to take away the mari dam, it's kosher. You have dam that gets mixed up with dam chulin, fine. Substitute the dam chulin for water and see what would happen. We're not concerned that someone out of this is betoyas going to come and actually sprinkle straight water or dam chulin on the mizbeach. Everyone knows water or dam chulin does not belong on the mizbeach. Once, however, we're talking about a mix-up in kachim, in pasul kachim in karbonis, like karbonis that are reveya the nirva, or karbonis that are nishchat chutz l'zmanai, this is very sensitive. If you are going to allow someone to see the dam of a carbon that was nishchat chutz l'zmanai, he sprinkled on the mizbeach, he may not know that there was a whole cheshbon here, it got mixed up with dam kosher, and there was enough dam kosher. He will think that you can sprinkle this kind of dam on the mizbeach, and a kilkul may come out of it here. Therefore, the Tanakhama says, once it comes to kachim, where people may have a habit, meaning that it belongs on the mizbeach, even though it's possible, here we don't want to touch it. Any mixture, any amount, it's just not right. Pour it out. What do we accomplish with this? So Taisus says, Mazba, we accomplish that now the Gzeda will work out even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda said, whenever you have dam that gets mixed up with other dam, you don't need any shiurim. Being that mean the mina doesn't become bottle, the original dam kosher is never lost. Now the way Rashi learns that we're concerned with a miscalculation, so it turns out that the whole machloik is over here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer, if or if not we should make a gzeda because somebody may miscalculate, that would not work out with Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, no calculations are necessary. Any dam that gets mixed up with dam is not a problem. The original dam kosher stays there. It doesn't become bottle because mean demeaning ain't a bottle. But the way Taisus learns, that it isn't a shiloh of miscalculating. It isn't a shiloh that if I allow somebody to make a cheshbon and substitute the dam atamsis for water, he may not make the right cheshbon. But it's a shiloh that if I allow dam atamsis or dam psulim that got mixed up with the regular dam to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, somebody may go lechatchila and sprinkle dam atamsis on the mizbeach. This gzeira is shaykh even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, vade dam atamsis would be possible. So Mamela, learning the way Taisus does, we accomplish that we include Rabbi Yehuda over here, and we don't have to say that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Akupanim, one way or another, this is of Zvid's teretz, that the machloik is over here between the Tanakhama who says, pour it out, and Rabbi Eliezer, who says, kosher. The machloikus is, do we or don't we make a gzeir in the Beis HaMikdash? What the gzeir is, that's the machloikus between Rashi and Taisus. But the Zvid Vali says, this is the machloikus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakhama. So according to the Zvid, in the Mishnah, when Rabbi Eliezer says, it's kosher, he means both are kosher. Sai in the case of where the dam psulim get mixed with the regular dam, sai in the case where the dam atamsis gets mixed with the regular dam. Because if you make a gzeira in regard to one, you would make a gzeira in regard to the other one. Rabbi Eliezer that says, don't make gzeiras by kachin, because we don't want you to pour out good kachin, would say in regard to both, don't make gzeiras. Now this is important, because in the Mishnah we have first the case of the dam that gets mixed up with dam psulim. The Mishnah says, yishafech liyama. Then the Mishnah states another case, dam that gets mixed up with dam tam, says yishafech liyama. And then the Lashon Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer machshir. But from the Lashon HaMishnah, we don't know what Rabbi Eliezer is machshir. Was he just machshir the last case, where the dam gets mixed up with dam atamsis? Or is he machshir both cases, even in the case where the dam gets mixed up with dam psulim? But from the Zvid, however, we see Rabbi Eliezer is machshir in both cases, because if the issue over here is, do we or don't we make a gzeir in the Beis HaMikdash, either that somebody may miscalculate, or somebody may come lechatchila to sprinkle dam atamsis or dam psulim, so the machloikus applies itself to both cases. Rav Papa, however, disagrees with the Zvid. Rav Papa Amar, the Kul Yamli everybody holds over here, including Rabbi Eliezer Geizrin. It's shaykh to make Zeris in the base of Mikdash. And indeed, in regard to Dam that gets mixed up with Dam Psula, even Rabbi Eliezer would say, let's not allow any calculations. Enochanami, technically, you can take the Dam Psulim and substitute it for water. If this amount of water would not take away the Mari Dam of the original Dam, it should be kosher, but we would rather not get involved. We are scared, once again, according to Rashi, that he may make a mistake. He may not calculate correctly. According to Tosfos, we are concerned he may spray Dam Psulim l'chatchila. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer, too, would say in regard to the Dam Psulim, Yishafach Liyama. The machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and he is machshir, that is only in the second case. In the case where the dam hanefesh, which is the dam that is supposed to go onto the mizbeach, gets mixed up with the dam atamts. And what is the machloikis? Zok the Gemara. Once again, the Papa Amar, the Kuliyama Goizen. But the hach over here, the dam hatamts is motzui l'rabbi soldam hanefesh kamifli. Is it or isn't it usual for the Dama Tamsis to exceed the Dama Nefesh? Marsova, the Tanakhama, says, this is common. It's common for the Dama Tamsis to be more than the Dama Nefesh. Therefore, when the Dama Nefesh gets mixed up with the Dama Tamsis, you have to be careful. It's very common that there should be enough Dama Tamsis over here to parcel the mixture. And Mamela, we would make a Gzeira, even in the event where there is not enough Dama Tamsis to parcel the Dama Nefesh. Let's still say Yishafach Liyam. That's the Tanakhama. Imarsova, Rabbi Eliezer, whoever says, Loi Shchiach. Rabbi Eliezer says, fine, where it's Shchiach there should be a problem, like for Dam of a Kosher carbon to get mixed up with Dam Psulim, I'm Moide to you. We should make a Gzeda, even though it's going to come to Hefzid Kachin, because technically it may be good, we still say it's Kedai to pour it out. People should not mix it up. But that is Bedavka, where it's Shchiach that there should be a problem. However, where it's not shchiach that there should be a problem, for instance, in regard to the dam nefesh and the dam tamsis, because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, generally, most of the dam comes out as dam nefesh, and it's very rare there should be enough dam tamsis to actually cause a problem in the event that they get mixed up. Memela, being that it's lo shchiach, there is no reason to make a gzeda. And Rashi points out, we see where the dam of a kosher, the carbon gets mixed up with the dam chulin, even the Tanakhama doesn't make a gzeira. And he says you can make a cheshbet and see if there's not enough dam chulin, it's kosher. Why? As explained previously, because it's not shchiach to have dam chulin in the base of Mikdash. So the Tanakhama himself says where it's not shchiach, we don't make a gzeira. And Rabbi Eliezer says in the case of dam atam, says it's not shchiach, there should be a problem. Now incidentally, over here in the Papa, we can no longer say, as Taisa suggests, that the gzeda means not a gzeda of a miscalculation, but a gzeda that if somebody sees Dama Tamsis winds up on the Mizbeach, he may come outside to spray Dama Tamsis on the Mizbeach. Because if that's the case, Lamai Nafka means that there's usually more Dama Tamsis or more Dama Nefesh. If we're learning like Rashi, that the Shaila is, will he calculate correctly or not? So it makes sense to say that if usually the proportions would be right anyhow, because there's generally more Dama Nefesh than Dama Tamsis. The male, it's not shchiach, there should be a problem, so the Eliezer says, don't make a gzeda. But the way Tosfos learns, that the gzeda is, he may come outright to spray dam tamsis alone on the mizbeach, because you see, somehow or the other, dam tamsis winds up on the mizbeach due to the mixture, then these words have no pshat. Because when my nafka means that there's more dam nefesh usually, or more dam tamsis, we're not concerned with miscalculations, we're concerned with outright spraying dam tamsis on the mizbeach. So Mamela Tosfos over here, at this point, regrets the previous pshat, and Tosfos now agrees with Rashi that the gzeira we're talking about is the fear that he may not calculate properly. Indeed, there may be too much dam psulim or too much dam anefesh, and he will think that the proportions are different, and he will spray it. Akupan. So once again, as explained previously, there is a major difference over here between the Zavid and the Rav Papa. Besides for the issue of do we or don't we make a gzeira, according to Rav Zavid, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees in both cases. Sign regard to the Dam Psulim, sign regard to Dam Atamasis, we don't make Zeiris in the base of Mikdash, rather we make calculations. If it's good, if we substitute either the Dam Psulim or Dam Tamsis for water, there would still be a Mari Dam, it's kosher. Rav Papa, on the other hand, says Rabbi Eliezer, in essence, does agree with the Gzeira. Rabbi Eliezer is willing to lose Kachin due to a Gzeira, but he only disagrees in the case of the Dam HaTamsis, being that usually the calculations will work out all right, because most of the time there is more Dam HaNefesh than Dam HaTamsis anyhow. Rabbi Eliezer feels over here there is no reason for a Gzeira. Therefore, Dr. Gemara Bishlema granted Lit of Papa that the Rabbi Eliezer only disagrees on the second case, on the case of where the dam gets mixed up with the dam at Tamsis. We understand why the Mishnah divides the two cases. Hainu Diktani, number one, start of the dam at Psule and Yishafech Liyama. This, everyone is Maida too, because according to the Papa, even Rabbi Eliezer is Maida that in essence we do make Zayas in the base of Migdash. Then the Mishnah tells me a second case. The Dam HaTamsis, however, if the Dam HaNefesh, which is supposed to go onto the Mizbeach, gets mixed up with the Dam HaTamsis that is not supposed to go onto the Mizbeach, Yishafech Liyama, the Tanakama says Yishafech Liyama, and Rabbi Eliezer is Machshir, there's a Machlokes. El Rav Zvid, but according to Rav Zvid, that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees both in the case of Dam Sulam and in the case of Dam HaTamsis, because Rabbi Eliezer says always go with the calculation, never make a Gzeir in the base of Migdash, because we cannot lose Kachim that technically is valid Kachim. Ivazoi, why does the Mishnah divide it? Liarvinu vulis ninu. Make it one case. The Lashon of the Mishnah should have been, if you have Dam that gets mixed up either with Dam Psulim, or Ibidam Atamsis, Yishafak Liyama. Why repeat it twice? Dam Psulim Yishafak Liyama, and again Dam Tamsis Yishafak Liyama? Zakta Gemara Kashi Anachanami. According to the Zavid, this is indeed a difficulty.